Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone this morning on the 4th of July weekend. And as we have this weekend, we think again just the founding of our country, celebrate the founding of our country. I do just want to praise the Lord for allowing us to live in this country, allowing us to have the freedoms that we have. Listen, not every country in the world has this. And as long as we do have it, we should praise the Lord for it. And so I want to just take the time on this 4th of July weekend, as we open the service, before we even do any announcements, just to take some time to pray and just praise the Lord and thank Him for allowing us to have the freedoms in the country here that we live in, allowing us to be able to come every Sunday and Wednesday, be able to meet without fear of someone coming in. Listen, we have missionaries in India. They have to fear when they go to church whether or not someone's going to come and burn down their church with them in it. I don't say that lightly, but that's a truth. That's a reality they live with, and we don't live with that here because of the freedoms that God has given to us. So we can pray. Can we just thank the Lord for the freedoms we have in this country? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for who you are, Lord, for what you have done, Lord, for you allowing us as Christians to be able to meet, to be able to gather, to be able to worship you, Lord, freely in this country. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for the freedom of religion that we have, Lord, that we can worship you according to your word completely. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you will help us, Lord, not to just take it for granted, Lord, but to, Lord, use it. Lord, use the freedom we have to proclaim the gospel to others. Lord, I pray that this 4th of July weekend, Lord, that you will remind us that you are the one who loves us. Lord, you are the one who sets up kings, who takes them down. Lord, that the only reason we have these freedoms is because of you. Lord, help us to always remember that and be thankful for it and to praise you and you alone for it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get started, we do want to remind people that we do have the fireworks fellowship this evening. It'll start at 5 o'clock. The hot dogs and water and everything will start being served at 6 o'clock, go to about 9 o'clock. We encourage everyone to come out. The fireworks fellowship, again, is in lieu of our Sunday evening service. And so instead of meeting in here, we're going to meet out there for a time of fun, food, and fellowship. That's a Baptist evening. Amen. All right. But we just look forward to it. And again, if you can come out, please come. We'll have just an area set apart for the young children to ride their bikes and scooters and all of those things. And we just want to be able to come out and have a good time and a good time of fellowship and also a time to be a testimony to our community. We want them to be able to come and just see our church and see us fellowshipping and see the love of Christ just by example. And so I encourage you to come out for that. There'll be soccer. We'll have that set up in the field. We'll have just the volleyball set up in the gym. Just a good time for everyone. And also want to remind everyone about the baby shower for Alyssa Nall, Saturday, July 9th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's this Saturday. Please RSVP to Melanie Wiesner. I don't have a slide for this, but I remind everyone who is volunteering for Vacation Bible School, if you're helping with Vacation Bible School, or even you say, you know what, I haven't signed up, but I want to see if there's a way I can still help, please come back to the gym immediately following the morning service. We have some things we want to hand out just to make sure everyone's on the same page, and a couple things we want to go over. The meeting will not last a long time. It will be short, 5 to 10 minutes, I promise. But please, 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 right after the morning service, make your way back to the gym for that meeting. Can we stand together and can we open with the chorus? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Let's sing together. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. for you. Let's sing it again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. As we open up in prayer this morning, I do want to just ask the church to be in prayer for the Blevins family. Daniel Blevins did pass away yesterday, and so we praise the Lord that he is in glory. But we want to pray for comfort and encouragement and strength for the Blevins family as we open up the service. And just also so everyone knows, the Holmes family did return from vacation. They had a great time, talked to Pastor for a little while on the phone yesterday, and he had planned to be here, but they woke up, and they're just a little under the weather, and so they want to play it safe, and so they are watching with us via Facebook this morning. And so we just want to be in prayer for them, pray that they can get better quickly and be back with us as soon as possible. Can we go ahead and pray for the service and also pray for the Blevins and the Holmes family? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are God who hears and answers prayer. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we know where a believer goes. Lord, we thank you just for the peace that we can have, even in a time of difficulty, even a time of mourning, a time of sadness. We thank you for that peace. And Lord, we do pray for the Blevins family that you will give them the joy, give them the peace that passes all understanding. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with that family and bless and guide in everything that's happening. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'll be with the service this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll be lifted up and glorified in all of it. I pray you'll be blessed. You will just move. Your spirit will move among us. And Lord, you will work. And Lord, you will help us to see you today. I pray you be with the Holmes family. Thank you so much for allowing them to have a good vacation and be refreshed Lord, rejuvenated through that. Lord, I do pray, Lord, it's just a little under the weather. Lord, I pray that you'll help them be able to be back with us soon. We do pray for them and their recovery just from this slight illness. And Lord, we thank you for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I forget, just for Daniel Blevins, the information, visitation will be at Foos and Foos Funeral Homes in Clyde from 11 to 1 and 5 to 7 on Thursday. And so be here in Clyde at Foos Funeral Home. And then also the funeral home will be at Friday at 11. And the place, as far as I'm aware, is still to be determined where the funeral will be held. And so if you have any questions, you, as we get information, we will make sure that we get it to you.
Well, good morning, beloved. Welcome to Harvest, and we are just so excited to be serving the Lord together. We're going to sing 799, Luke, 799, America the Beautiful. But before we do that, look at your neighbor and say, good morning, neighbor. Ask them this question. What did you guys all say uh-oh for?
Because we know you.
Look at them this morning and say, have you lost weight? And then after they lie, say, you need to go to the altar. Oh, you didn't lie. Okay, just checking. You know, I used to blame it on the holidays, but then I remember I was fat in January, so it didn't really matter, right? Amen. $7.99, America the Beautiful. Let's sing out, there is a key change between verse 3 and 4. It's good to have you at Harvest this morning. Sing out now.
Skies, forever waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Oh, free love and mercy, Lord of God. America, America, may God thy glory find, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. America, America.
Thank you, beloved. Could you do me a favor and remember Nancy? This is the Watts's, Diane Watts's sister, correct? And she is going to have surgery this month coming up. And it's a very serious surgery. And as you can imagine, they're very concerned for her. So I would have just kind of let them know that we're supporting them. So her name is Nancy. So how many of you would remember, even today and even through the following weeks, that we would pray for Nancy? Can you raise your hand? So I just wanted to let you know that we're praying for you, sis. And I know how much I love my sister and how heavy that must be. But we're going to continue to pray for them. And isn't it beautiful as a church we can get together and do that? Isn't that wonderful? I praise God for that. Now, we're never trying to embarrass anybody on a Sunday morning. That's never our goal. Brother Sharp, it's good to see you today. Brother Sharp, give us a word of testimony right where you're at. Is Wade dating anybody yet?
Is he dating anybody?
Yes.
Well, he is single.
Oh, he
is.
Okay. He is. I thought he looked more mature. He what? I'm sorry? Okay, I understand. Wade, we never want to embarrass you. Actually, we really do. It's good to see you. God bless you. It's good to see the whole Sharp family this morning. And isn't it good to see him this morning? Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, good morning, neighbor. Shake their hand. If appropriate, give them a hug. Tell them you love them. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Good stuff. I love it. Man, I really feel bad. Wade was looking for a girl to hug. This is really crazy. Now, I tell you what. Woo. Wade, you're welcome. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. 338. Let's sing out now. I love this song. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Where would we be without his grace? I wouldn't be here, I'll tell you that much.
And wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all our sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? And taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the one. Matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, singing, greater more than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have. transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for eternity. Scope of my transgression, seeing it greater than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
Beautiful job, beloved. Can we now sing 577 in times like these? 577. I'm going to ask the ladies and orchestra to go ahead and play that third verse again. Now, beloved, I have to ask you a question. Are you sure? Are you very sure you know Christ as your Savior? Are you very sure if today was the last day on earth and you were to die tonight, as unlikely as it is, are you very sure that you'd be in heaven? Are you 50% sure or 75% sure? Are you 100% sure that you're saved? You know, in a crowd this big, we better be careful. Because I don't know that everybody's very sure. People listening in the radio or on Facebook, they may not be 100% sure. You may be scanning the dial. What is going on? We're singing about Jesus Christ, the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of him. Beloved, you know Christ is your Savior. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. I pray for Brother Charles that you'd fill him with your spirit. that you'd calm his nerves and give him your word. Lord, I do think of Nancy as she's been going, having surgery in a few weeks, that you would even now touch her body physically. Lord, that you would calm that cancer, that you would give the surgeon wisdom, give him knowledge beyond his years. Touch his hands, Lord, her hands, Lord, whatever it is. Lord, that the surgery be a success. I pray that you would touch the Watts family. Give them strength. Lord, I think of that person hurting today. They miss their loved one. They're lonely. Lord, be with them. Fill them with your spirit. Touch them, Lord. I pray for our pastor and the Holmes family. Give them strength. I think of Brother Utley, who's under the weather. Lord, I ask that you would give them strength. Help them heal their physical body. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you today. We want to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Seated. At this time, we're going to go ahead and just have a time where we pray for the tithes and the offerings. And just want to remind everyone that there are drop boxes outside of both entrances. And so you can place your offering in there. You can also give online, www.considerharvest.com, and also on our church app. And so we have provided many different ways for you to give. And so we just pray, as the Lord gives increase to you, again, that you just give back freely and cheerfully to him, just in worship. Giving is not just something we do. It is another way to worship our Savior. And so, again, I encourage you, just let's give and just remember what God has given to us in giving back to him. Let's, at this time, pray for the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you and just cannot... Lord, we truly cannot comprehend, Lord, everything you have done for us. Lord, everything that you provide for us, everything that you do. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will give us more understanding each and every day of all of those things. Lord, help us to be more thankful, more grateful. Lord, never to take anything, any of these for granted. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we come to this time of tithes and offerings, Lord, you will help us to give, Lord, for your glory. Lord, that you may be glorified, that you may be lifted up, Lord, not because we want recognition, not because we want to just do what we know we should do, Lord, but give so you can be glorified. And Lord, I pray that you will be glorified through this offering. I pray that your gospel will go forth, and I pray that this gift will be multiplied. And Lord, because of what is given, Lord, more and more people will know who you are and what you've done, and Lord, become a child of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
To our Lord. to the prairies, from the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
As Charles said previously, we are a blessed people, and we live in the greatest country in the world. And to honor our country, would you please stand and join me in singing God Bless America?
Seated. God bless America. All right. I think the kids know what time it is, right? It's time to dismiss to junior church. And if you are visiting with us, as they are being dismissed, if you are visiting with us this morning, I want to make sure that you know this is not the normal way that our platform looks. In fact, I kind of almost wanted to get up here just to start the service and say, good day, mate. And, but I figured on July 4th, it probably just wasn't the best idea. But this is not normal. This is for Vacation Bible School, which is like a week from Monday. Yeah, a week from Monday. And so if your children have not registered, I encourage you to register them. If you know of people that you think they might want to come, we still have flyers outside both entrances. So I encourage you to pick those up. And let's let people know about Vacation Bible School. Not so they can come and have fun, but they will. Not so they can come and have good snacks, but they will. But so they can come and hear the gospel. Okay? They can come and hear the gospel and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross of Calvary. That is why we do this. And so I encourage you, please, as much as possible, let's get these invitations out and let the community know. July 4th, 1776, 246 years ago. Yes, I did the math. Sorry, not my head. I'm the worst person when it comes to math. A couple times, the students this last year came to me like, hey, do you know math? I'm like, no. And you don't want me to even try. I enjoy trying to figure it out, but it's not something I can help people figure out. But 246 years ago, 56 people signed the Declaration of Independence. In that document, we see the words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Can I be honest? I am very grateful to live in this country. Amen. Very grateful. I praise the Lord for it. you think about all the different countries that are in the world now, all the different countries that have ever existed, and I'll just say, my opinion, this is the greatest country to have ever existed. That is my opinion. People are welcome to theirs, but that's mine. If I'm looking at our founding documents, I'm going to compare them to other founding documents. If I can just say this, we have great. God used our founding fathers in the formation of this country. And can I say this? I've seen over the last week, just online, Christians fighting. Yeah, that never happens, right? Over whether or not we should show patriotism. Can I say that? It's okay to show patriotism? I think obviously I show a little bit of it today, like maybe. It's okay to show patriotism. God has given us this country, and it's okay to show patriotism. But I want to talk this morning about proper patriotism. Because even though it is okay, very much okay, to show patriotism to our country, we have another country, we have another kingdom that should always come first. And so today we're going to look at proper patriotism. Can you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. We're going to look at this morning at proper patriotism. The word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Shall we pray and ask God to bless this time of preaching? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you so much for the power that your word has. Lord, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that you've given to us to indwell us as believers, to illuminate your word to us. And Lord, I pray that as we come together to look into your word this morning, I pray that your spirit will move. Lord, your power will be seen. Lord, you will be lifted up. You will be glorified. Lord, sin will be forsaken. And Lord, you will be seen as faithful. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. Lord, I know I'm not worthy, but Lord, you have given me the opportunity. I pray, Lord, that I will not be seen, and you will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. As I was preparing for this message, preachers always wrestle with the titles. They always wrestle with the titles. I was really wrestling between two, so much so that I actually gave Noah a different title on Friday when I gave him my notes. And then I came in this morning, I'm like, hey, I need you to change it for me. Because I was looking at perfect patriotism or proper patriotism. And the idea of perfect patriotism is again, the fact that our patriotism first and foremost should be for God's kingdom. And that perfect patriotism is impossible without a perfect country. And so the fact that we have a perfect kingdom, God's kingdom, we can have perfect patriotism. But I thought a better title would be proper patriotism, because there's an order for our allegiances. There's an order for our allegiances. And so this morning, as we begin, point number one, I want us to look at your country. Let's look at your country. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Mercy. Luke, if you put verse number 9 back up, please. I want you to look at the end of that verse there. It says, "Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In this verse, we see two kingdoms. We see two kingdoms. We see the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Every person on earth is a part of one of these. You might be, they might be Canadian, Mexican, American, they might be from Europe, from Africa, from Australia, from China, they might be, doesn't matter where they are, but they are a member of one of these kingdoms. You, in the auditorium, watching on Facebook, listening on the radio, are a member of one of these kingdoms. And which one of these kingdoms you are a member of is really what matters. Can I just say, your American citizenship ends with your death. Your American citizenship ends with your death. Yeah, death. Yeah, we live in the greatest country, but in the scope of eternity, that is a very short time. That is a very short time. So we look, I want to just take a look at these kingdoms. Let's first go ahead and look at the kingdom of darkness. We think about the kingdom of darkness. Listen, the kingdom of darkness is the default. In America, we kind of speak as if the default is heaven. As if the default is spending time and spending eternity when someone dies in heaven. No, if someone never trusts Jesus Christ, the default is the kingdom of darkness. The default when they die is hell. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 6:23 hasn't changed. The wages of sin is death. We are born with a sin nature. We are born under the wrath of God. The kingdom of darkness is the default. John 3:36, Christ himself speaking, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Amen? Let's look at the second part. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." This is the default. If someone has not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, their kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. Before I came here, I was a youth director at another church. One of the games I like to play is you make a maze, and you get everyone except one person set up outside of that maze. And the one person inside the maze, you blindfold them. And then they have to listen to everyone on the outside in order to get through. And it's always just a fun thing to watch, to see how fast they can get through, because they're just trying to listen to everyone. But teenagers are teenagers, and they don't tell the truth in this game. They'll say, "Go left, go left." No, they had to go right. They're going left. They take them into the wall. And they love when they take people into walls. They love just blinding them more and more. They enjoy it. When someone's in the kingdom of darkness, Satan loves to blind them because he doesn't want them to see the light. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them." Listen, we can't just think that the kingdom of darkness is Eh. Satan has power. His power is nothing compared to God, but Satan has power. If Michael the Archangel isn't gonna fight him, but say the Lord rebuke thee, if the angels aren't gonna fight him, then listen, we can't take him lightly. We can't fight him in our own power. The kingdom of darkness is a powerful kingdom. You think about the state of our country today. You think about the stance that so many people and the different stances that so many people are taking. I like to listen to podcasts and listen to different news stations. And it's interesting to hear how many people just say that the stances that people are taking don't make sense politically. Think about that. They don't make sense politically. And I agree. I think a lot of the stances that people are taking in America today, they don't make sense politically. But that's because it's not a political battle. It's a spiritual battle. As Christians, we are in a war, in a battle with the kingdom of darkness. And we can't fight this battle in our own strength. We can't fight this battle in our own strength. There's a kingdom of darkness, but there's also a kingdom of light. There's also a kingdom of light. John 8:12, Jesus Christ says, "Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Where does that light come from? That's easy. John chapter 1, verse number 4. In him, who Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ, God, is our light. I got to teach history this year, and I like history, so every single time I kind of get to hear something or learn something about history, I try to take advantage of that. And a long time ago, I came across the story of in 1952 of the greatest Coast Guard rescue in American history. In that winter, there were hurricane force winds that had broken in half two ships. That's crazy. They had broken in half two ships. And so when that happened, the one happened first, and they had sent people out to handle that. But then the other one happened. They really didn't have the vessels in order to properly go handle that one, but they set out anyway to do it. In a boat that was not equipped to handle it, but they did it. And they were successful in getting all but one of the people off the ship. And it was scary. It was a scary night, just with all the waves and everything, and just getting all the men off. It was a very treacherous journey. But just as treacherous as going out and getting the men was trying to get them back to shore. Because again, there was hurricane force winds. And as we and Clyde know, what do winds do? They knock out power. And so the power was out. Well, if you're in a ship and you're on the water and there's no light, what does that do to your hope of returning to shore? It makes it a lot less. And so what the people did, the people realized the power's out, they can't see. They're not going to be able to see. So what did they do? They got all their cars together and they shined their lights out to sea. And because of the lights of those cars that were shined out to sea, the people in the boat were able to find their way back to shore. Listen, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's word is light. God's kingdom is light. And listen, God's kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. God's kingdom, being light, it's also not a kingdom that while we're in this world, it's going to be all easy peasy. It doesn't mean that once you trust Christ, once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that once you're a Christian, that everything's going to be just great. No, troubles and hard times still come. But in those trials, we can have joy. In those trials, we can have peace. We have a kingdom of light that no matter what happens, we know who's in control. No matter what happens, we know that in Christ we have the victory. And we can have hope. Listen, when I'm just looking at the news and reading the news and seeing everything that happens, I then think about my three kids, that's still hard to think of. It's crazy. But I think of my three kids and think of, they have to grow up in this. And just in my immediate reaction, a lot of times, I'll be honest, it scares me that they're going to grow up in a country that keeps going further and further away from God. But then I remember. I don't put my trust in Pennsylvania Avenue. I don't put my trust in the White House. I don't put my trust in the Capitol. I don't put my trust in any government. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is God's kingdom. John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Then I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from hence." Listen, another thing we can know is we can't allow the politics and the things of this world to take the place of God's kingdom, of God's will, God's direction. We need to have proper patriotism. We need to make sure the country that has the highest position is God's kingdom. Listen, there's also no dual citizenship between these kingdoms. You're either a citizen of one or the other. One or the other. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people." And we'll even just stop right there. There's no room for dual citizenship there. Acts 26:18 says, "To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Listen, can I praise the Lord that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and he forgives our sins, that they're all forgiven? If I'm not mistaken, the Bible teaches that God knows everything. Right? Right? The Bible teaches that God knows everything. So at the point when you trust Christ, God already knew about all of your sin that you had committed and that you would commit. I think sometimes we get in our minds that, well, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ here, but then later on, man, you know, I still sinned. There's no way that God could love me now. It's kind of like we think that we caught God off guard. No. No. God already knew. God already knew. John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We are not dual citizens. But sadly, we sometimes act like it, don't we? Sometimes we kind of act like it. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Listen, Christian, we can't continue in sin. We can't. When God shows us sin, we need to change. I think too many Christians, God convicts them and God shows them something, but then they leave church and they go to the buffet and they get distracted by the world and they forget everything that they've just heard. Verse number 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Christian, there's no dual citizenship. Stop acting like you have dual citizenship. Be a citizen of God's kingdom. Live for him. Represent him. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve both. The idea here is a slave. If someone is a slave, they are beholden and they are supposed to do 100% of the will of their master. If they have two masters, can they do 100% of the will of two masters? No. One is going to go above the other. You cannot serve two masters. Can I just say this? Let's be honest. When we see the world's not ugly. When you look at the world, when you look at what the world has to offer, it's attractive. It's attractive. Now, the ends of what the world offers ain't good, but that's not what you see. The Bible does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. And so many times we can get distracted. We can get distracted by those pleasures. But can I say that you might allow yourself to go down that road, to go down the wrong road, to live for the world. But once the world's done with you, let me tell you, the world doesn't care about you. Satan doesn't care about you. In fact, Satan hates you. Satan hates you. Reminds me of there were recently two Americans who competed in the Olympics for China. There are two Olympians born, they are born in America, renounced their citizenship even of America and went and competed in China. And you look at the one won gold and just praised and everyone was so excited. But there were two of them. The other one on her routine fell and just messed up completely. You know, before the Olympics, both of them were, good job. But as soon as that one person fell, she was thrown by the wayside and ridiculed and mocked and all of that stuff. Once the world's done with you, it's going to chew you up and spit you out. The world doesn't care about you. God does. God loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants you to love him. He wants you to turn from your sin and to live for him. If you're a Christian, again, you need to turn from your sin and live for him. Represent him in this world. If you're not a Christian today, he loves you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't have you here today. He wouldn't have you listening today. He wants you to know him, to turn from your sins, to turn to him for forgiveness of your sins. He paid the penalty you deserve to pay on the cross of Calvary. And he rose again 3 days later, victorious over the grave, and is able to offer forgiveness today. He can forgive you of your sins. You don't have to be a citizen of darkness. You don't have to be a part of the kingdom of darkness. You can be a part of the kingdom of light. But there are kingdoms. A country that we should have proper patriotism for, first and foremost above all others, is God's kingdom, the kingdom of light. But I also want to look at, we have conflicts. First of all, we have the battle without. Verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. A stranger is one who lives in a place without the rights of citizenship." We're living in the midst of the kingdom of darkness. We are not citizens of the kingdom of darkness. We are pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, okay? We're not like everyone else. We should not be like everyone else. And there are going to be a lot of things that this world does not see a problem with, but they are sins against God. I'll never forget my first year here at the Fair Ministry, and I had an opportunity to talk to a bunch of teenagers. And I remember going through the Ten Commandments with them at the fair and just showing them what sin is. They didn't know. I was just showing them what sin is. And I remember I got to the sin of adultery, of fornication. And I remember one of the teenagers, their eyes just getting so big. And they looked at me and said, "I just did that right out there." They didn't see any problem with it before they entered the tent. And we can get all mad at the world. We can just like go, what is going on? Like, have they lost their... They're blind. They don't know. The world's going to do things that just doesn't make sense, but they're blind. There's a battle. There's a battle. And we can't let the world affect us. We can't let the world change us. We need to let God change us. But there are things, again, there are things that the world's going to see as completely okay, but we need to stand up and say that's wrong. It makes me think of Joseph with Potiphar's wife, verse number 7 of chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.'" Do you know in Egypt at that time that was perfectly acceptable behavior for a woman? It's perfectly acceptable. And nothing would have been said. It was normal. But Joseph knew that it was wrong. And we see Joseph's reaction in verse number 8. "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is nothing greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" We have a conflict. This world is going to, listen, newsflash, spoiler alert, this world's going to keep getting worse. This world's going to keep moving. And what scares me, though, is what I see is the world moves and keeps moving and moving, but at the same time, the church seems to be following. We can't do that. We have God's unchanging word here. We can't follow the world in the direction they're going. We need to stand firm on his word and on his word alone. There's a battle without, but there's also a battle within. Look at verse number 11 with me again. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Galatians 5:17 says, "The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." We all know this battle. At least I hope we know the battle. The flesh wants what it wants. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit saying, "No. No. We can't do that." I hope you know the battle. If you say, "You know, I have never experienced that battle," then I would ask you to look at the Word of God, because if you can just sin and win and keep going and sin and sin and sin, really, the Bible says you're not in. But man, the battle's real inside. There's a spiritual battle inside each and every one of us. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. You say, what's the solution? Well, verse 16 of Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say, what do you... That doesn't make sense. Let me put it this way to you. When I was growing up, if I can just be honest, I didn't always do what was right. I got into some things I probably really shouldn't have gotten into. Do you want to know why? Because I was with people that I shouldn't have been with. I was with people I shouldn't have been with. And being with them, it caused me, and I allowed myself to do the things I shouldn't. It was my decision. But when we're around the wrong people, when we're around the wrong things, and we constantly allow the world to feed our eyes and to feed our ears, can I say that we're not setting ourselves up for success? We're not setting ourselves up for success. But I remember going to college. And when I went to college, my freshman year, I was probably the most fake Christian you could ever imagine. I looked really good on the outside. I played the part really well, but I was so fake. But the advice that my pastor gave to me before I went there, what he said was this, find the right friends. Find the right friends. He says, the first people you meet probably won't be them. Find the right friends. And so, you know what? Even though I was fake, I still did that because I respected my pastor. And it took 1 year. It wasn't right away. 1 year of hanging around all those people. God continued to work through the preaching of God's word, through classes, through all these different things that God, being fed and fed and fed, that God broke me. I remember pacing outside of my dorm and just thinking, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep doing this. I'm living two lives. I'm fake. I'm a hypocrite. I can't keep doing it. And I walked for 2 hours pacing back and forth. I knew which decision I wanted to make. I knew I wanted to be real. I knew I wanted to just completely surrender and give everything to God. But I also didn't want to make it flippantly. We make too many decisions flippantly these days without actually just taking the time to think about it. To really, really pray and allow God to speak to us. But it was that afternoon, just pacing back and forth, where I said, God, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It will not cleave to me. And I left those things behind. And Christian, you need to leave those things behind. The things that cause you to struggle, the things that cause you to fall, you need to leave those things behind and walk in the Spirit. Say, sometimes, man, I don't feel saved. That's not what walking in the Spirit means. It means when you wake up and you're like, oh man, I just don't feel spiritual today. Be faithful. Walk in the Spirit. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean God's not faithful. God is. When you don't feel it, that's the epitome of walking in faith. You don't feel like reading your Bible, read it. Read it. In fact, pick it up and read it, and don't stop reading it until you want to. You walk in the Spirit. I like those stairs there. It's nice. But there's a battle within. To make sure we don't let sin reign in our mortal bodies. There's a conflict. We also need to think about our character. And just to let you know, this isn't the last point. I took Dan's point that he didn't use on Wednesday. I put it on my sermon. All right, but they're quick. I promise, they're quick. When you think about our character, our conflict leads into our character. If you just give up the conflict, you're not going to have good character. But Church, we can't have hypocrisy. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest. Honest. I love my parents. And when I look back at different parts of my childhood, I see how God used them so greatly to get me where I am here today. I'm not saying they're perfect. In fact, I'm going to say one thing in just a second that I know they regret, and I've already decided I'm not going to do. But God used them greatly in my life. I just want to preface what I'm about to say with that, and I love my parents. I love them. I'm glad they're here. I'm glad that they're part of my church. But growing up, one of the things I heard a lot was, do what I say, not what I do. Do what I say and not what I do. That's bad. That's bad. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I remember back to the times when I heard it. And again, I love my parents, and God used them so much. I wouldn't be saved without them. I would not be, 100%. But I remember hearing that from them. And just be honest, thinking, what a joke. But how many times as Christians do we do that to the world? Come. Live for Christ. Love Christ. Then we go about doing whatever we want. And what we're saying is, do what I say, not what I do. And you know what the world's saying? What a joke. There can't be any hypocrisy. What you say and what you do need to match. What you say at church and what you say at work need to match. What you do at church and what you do at work, at home, in private, in public, needs to match. I think sometimes that maybe we're just too, as people, we're too engulfed in others' hypocrisy to worry about our own. If everyone were worried about their own hypocrisy, maybe hypocrisy wouldn't be a problem. You take the beam out of our own eye before we try to take a sliver out of someone else's. Our character as Christians can have no hypocrisy. But at the same time, if it needs to have no hypocrisy, but then at the same time, if we hide it, if we hide our character, if we hide the fact that we're Christians, listen, then we're also going to have no effect. There's no hypocrisy. There's no hiding. No hiding. You see, verse number 12 again, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation, which they shall behold. When's the last time that someone could say that by what you do, by what you say at work, at home, at the grocery store, at the gas station, by what you do in those places, in any place you go, when's the last time that someone could say, wow, that's a Christian? That they're different. I took my boys to Cedar Point the other day, and it was so much fun. I don't get to ride a single thing, but I have more fun now than I did before. It's crazy. But I remember getting there, and I were walking in. There was a family. There's a family there. And just looking at them, you know what I knew right away? Without even hesitating, I knew it. They're Christians. They are Christians. And you know what? I was right. There was a difference. There was a difference. And to be honest, you go different places, and more as we progress, the difference is going to become greater and greater and greater. We can't hide. And if you're living the way you should, if you're living the way you should with no hypocrisy, living for God, you're living as a representative of God's kingdom, then it will show. There will be no hiding. We are light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Still one of Charlie's favorite songs. It's a good song, though. Got to let it shine. Your character matters. If this world is going to change, your character matters. And as we look through this passage, we see your country. Your country should be the kingdom of light. And if you're a member of the kingdom of darkness, if you never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, may I just implore you this morning, talk to someone else about it. You can come to me after the service. There's many people here who would love to show you from the Bible how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, how you can have a personal relationship with him, and he can forgive your sins. And you can be a member of the kingdom of light, a citizen of God's kingdom. But your country, your kingdom matters. And in Christian, there's no dual citizenship. We need to represent God. And making sure that we fight the war with the right weapons, the right way. There's an outward war and an inward war. The world wants to change you. Your flesh wants what it wants. It wants to change you. It doesn't want you to follow the Spirit, okay? And you know what? When it comes down to it, we are weak. We are weak. That's why you know walk in the Spirit. And we need to make sure that we're fighting this battle because our character matters. And we see this as we go through this passage. But if we really look at this passage, all through this passage, we also see, and this is it, the last one, we see our call. You see your call. Verse number 12, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God on the day of visitation. Our call, first off, is to endure. It says, whereas they speak against you as evil doers. If you live for Christ, the world's not going to like it. The world's not going to like it. But we're called to endure. And God can give you the strength. God can give you the strength. God can give you the peace. He can give you the joy. You look at the peace and the joy that the apostles had in the book of Acts when they were beaten. They were put in prison. What are they constantly? They're praising God. God, thank you so much for counting me worthy to be beaten. If you got beat up today for your faith, would you be praising God? Let's be real. We all hope we would, right? We all hope we would. But the book of Acts, they praise God because they got beaten. Because they were preaching his word. They got beaten for righteousness' sake. They got persecuted because they were living for God. Now, we might not have rampant persecution in this country, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be called to endure some things. And to be honest, we don't know how much longer we have our freedoms. But no matter what happens, we are called to endure. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We need to endure. And that means cleaving to the Lord and leaving the world. But we also need to enunciate. What do you mean by that? We need to tell people about Christ. Plain and simple. We need to share the gospel.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, in a casual reading, that kind of seems like they're just watching you. But when you look at what this is saying, when you study the meaning behind these words, what you'll find is the word "show" there means to proclaim. It means to tell. We need to tell people about Christ. We need to be a witness. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, this is something I know is terrifying to a lot of people. Gotta be honest, I still get butterflies in my stomach when I do it. I still get butterflies. But I think we overcomplicate it. We're called to be witnesses. You think, well, what is a witness? Well, I remember one time I witnessed someone who was trying to parallel park. And you know what I found out pretty quickly? They couldn't. And I watched them hit, and I was across the street, and yeah, I couldn't get over right away. And to be honest, I was probably, I watched for a little bit first. And then I went over and stopped them. But I watched them as they backed into the car. I watched them as they got alongside and just went all down the side. That's when I went over and stopped. But I witnessed it. I knew what happened. I could tell you what happened very easily. Why? Because I saw it. And listen, as Christians, that is what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to tell other people what we have witnessed. How did Christ bring you to himself? Why are you sitting in church this morning? Why do you love Christ? Tell other people. Tell other, just that's what you tell people. Why are you a Christian? Why? Just tell them that. You tell them what you've witnessed. That's all you do. Listen, very simply put, my family started going to Walnut Creek Baptist Church when I was 7 years old. From when I was 7 to when I was 13, I prayed a prayer like 5 or 6 times. But a prayer doesn't save you. A prayer doesn't save you. When I was 13 years old, and to be honest, at 13 years old, I was a brat. I was a brat. My parents gave me the opportunity to go to Christian camp. There really was no other option. They gave me one, but it wasn't an option, and so I went to camp. And all the other distractions of the world were just taken away. And I remember just sitting under there preaching, and God convicted me of my sins. I knew that how I was living was wrong. And he convicted me. And the preacher was talking to Christians and saying, "Christian, you need to repent of your sin and live for God." And I, the entire time sitting there, I'm just thinking, I'm not even a Christian. If I died right now, I'm going to go to hell. If I don't repent of my sins, if I don't trust Jesus Christ to forgive my sins, and I die, I'm not going to be with him. And after the service that evening, I couldn't help it. I went outside, I knelt down by myself, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of my sins. And I know that the Bible, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's it. That's the gospel. I just told what happened to me. And Christian, your call is to do the same thing. Because that's proper patriotism. If you are properly a patriot of God's kingdom, you're going to tell other people about it. You want people to be a member of God's kingdom. Some of you say, you know what? I have not been a proper patriot. I haven't. I haven't lived for God's kingdom the way I should have. I've been acting like I have dual citizenship, living for both. This conflict, this war, outward war, and this inward war, and I haven't been doing really well with it lately. Man, I'm a hypocrite. I don't want people to see me. Repent. Christian, repent. We are called to repent. Man, how could God use me now if I've done all these things? He's the one that's all powerful, not us. Let him figure that out. Because if you have life and breath today, can I say that he has a plan and he wants to use you? How's your patriotism for God's country today, for God's kingdom? What is it like? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much. Lord, for everything that you've provided for us, for allowing us to be a citizen of your kingdom, of the kingdom of light. And I pray that, Lord, that you will allow us, Lord, to place you and your kingdom first in every aspect of our life, in public, in private, in church, in work, alone or with people. Lord, in every aspect of our life, help us to live for you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be a beacon of light to the world. Lord, that those who are members and citizens of darkness, Lord, may see the light. Lord, and that they may glorify God. Lord, that they may come to know you as their Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take this time to pray and ask the Lord to move. And not just now, but also when we go home. Tonight, when we're here. This week, when we're working. Let's ask him to move and to move mightily in your heart, in my heart. Let's meet with God. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace that is renewed each and every day. Lord, thank you so much for this church. Lord, thank you so much